Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. My name's Gavin Berry, and once again, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the Daily Record's Andy Newport and Sunday Mail chief football writer Scott McDermott. And once again, for the second week in a row, back by popular demand, is Martin Wyfels. Martin, you were so good last week. We want you back on. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it really much. So I would say... We can speak when both teams are in Champions League, but it's only one spot, eh? So
yes. So yes, that's it. So two appearances is quite good.
Yeah, it is. It is.
More money for every appearance you make.
Yeah, that's well.
Wait, Martin gets paid for this.
They didn't tell you.
Sorry, we'll keep that quiet. Okay, it was 2-2 draw. It was, it was an incredible game. A bit like last season, end-to-end, two teams going for it. Great atmosphere. What is the kind of view in Holland that PSV Eindhoven deserved to win, deserved the draw, or could have been worse? Yeah,
it was a little bit mixed feelings. There are always Dutch people who overestimate the quality of Dutch players, Dutch coaches, and they say, it will be 3-0 in the return game. But there's also a growing feeling that, a little bit fear that it will go the same way as last season because, PSV, they played Rangers three times and we could think that they played better football or it's easy to beat Rangers, but they didn't do it on three occasions. And, there are also people who fear the return game, and the 0-1 of last season is still in our minds.
Yeah. Do you think maybe it becomes a little bit psychological because Rangers over the years, not even just last year, but going way back to, the 1970s and also in 1999 under Dick Advocaat, Rangers have always had good results. Do you think it's becoming psychological, a mental thing?
It will. And, the problem is that the problem for PSV is that Rangers, they don't need the ball. They can wait because PSV will always make mistakes, and we saw that on the first goal of Rangers build up for PSV, and they lost the ball in a way that it may not happen, but it's not the first time that Sangare loses the ball, so that could also happen in Eindhoven on Wednesday. So if I would be a Rangers fan or Rangers player, I would take a lot of positives of the game to Eindhoven and I would believe in a good result.
Yeah, the frustration was maybe summed up by Luc de Jong, who they reported on television had booted, kicked the door. Were they talking much about this in Holland?
No, because you sent me this, but in Holland there was no talk about it. No. So, maybe we should ask Luke what he did. But he smashed the door, you said.
He kicked the door. Apparently, when he was going away at halftime, he kicked the door. And then Joey Veerman was saying that Rangers only boot the ball long and they kick the ball. So is he a little bit bitter?
Yeah, Joey Veerman is always this kind of... words after a game. He's the prototype of the Dutch player. With the ball, fantastic, and without the ball, it depends. So you saw a clash of styles also, yeah. And that's why it's so interesting. And I think that the coach of Rangers he did it tactically well. He put player on Veerman. Noah Lang, who was the most creative player of PSV, we didn't really saw him in the game. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Rangers had actually they had a good plan, and they should have won, I think, in the dying seconds with the chance of Danilo the rebounds. Mm-hmm. And what I say, it will be a tight game.
Just finally from me, just for now, and then Scott and Andy can ask you, but can you tell us a bit about, I mean, obviously, Rangers go to Ross County on Saturday. Andy and Scott will go to the game. We know that PSV Eindhoven do not have any match, but they played a secret game yesterday, a secret game against Monaco. Was that just to give players a run out? And who played in that game and how did it go?
They played the game to get all the players in a rhythm, but they also practiced with Jerdy Schouten. He was they bought him from Bologna in Italy, mm-hmm. and well, he could be a key factor in the second game because he's a midfield player. What I told you, all the Dutch players they look at ball possession, but they do not look what they leave behind when they attack. But Schouten, he will look behind, look what's in his back. So I think he will be in the team for the second match, and he will give them more stability on the midfield, or maybe he will play at the back as a central defender. And they practice with him in that match against Monaco as a central defender. And maybe I think that Tillman also played, he made his minutes because he didn't come on at all in the first game. And well, psychologically speaking, I would think that he will play also a part in the second match because he knows Rangers. So why do not use him?
Martin, how do you think PSV and Peter Bosch will approach the second leg? Do they know any other way to play, or will they just go for it? And if they do go for it, is that dangerous? No, what you spoke about earlier, Rangers will play counter-attack. Will it be a similar game to Ibrox? How do you see PSV approaching this game?
Yeah, well, I think from the beginning on, they will go forward and they try to get the crowd behind them. Last season, they failed on doing that the first 30 minutes. We talked about it last week. The first 30 minutes in Eindhoven, nothing happened. And Giovanni van Bronckhorst said afterwards, we were prepared of PSV storming and then we had to go back, but nothing happened. And they will definitely not make that mistake again. So they will come. But yeah, what you say, on the other hand, Rangers have some quick players, and they a player like Dessers, he was not the best striker in Holland, but he's a clever player. And keep in mind, always when he plays against PSV, when he played PSV against with Feyenoord, he had some magic in his feet. So yeah, he showed it. For me, he showed it this first game, and he can show it the second game also.
It felt on Tuesday night that as much as PSV were pleasing on the eye and very good in the ball, when Rangers actually pressurised them and put them under real pressure and harried them and harassed them, they were liable to make mistakes. Is that normal for PSV, and does that give Rangers hope going into next week?
Yeah, I think so, because in Holland, there are not a lot of teams that could play with the intensity of Rangers. Technically, Rangers sometimes makes mistakes because they want to play at the highest speed level. But we're not used to that in Holland. But I think the key factor for Rangers will be just how do you say that? Stay compact and let PSV come a little bit, because they will make mistakes. So Rangers should wait and try to punish PSV on the mistakes they will definitely make again.
Just like they did a year ago.
A year ago? Yeah. So, the same. And maybe a player like this is what I say. He knows how it is to play in Eindhoven and knows how to play in Holland. Yeah, he can do magic for them. And the only, I think the most dangerous fact for Rangers is that PSV has a good Luc de Jong. Huh? He made the 2-2, and he has confidence at the moment. And well, they will definitely search him. Let's say that it stays 0-0 for a long time. They can put him also long balls and balls in the air. And he's the best striker in Europe, right? With his head. And that can also be a factor.
Andy.
But yeah, well, I'm surprised. What I would like to know, Rangers will play in the weekend. Is there any discussion in Scotland to scrap the match or not at all?
No, this was something that was debated last season. I think Giovanni van Bronckhorst actually said that he wouldn't want the game cancelled or postponed anyway because it was so early in the season and it's actually better to have games. But another point is that in Scotland, you have three domestic competitions and the fixture calendar is very congested. There is not a lot of room to manoeuvre. Yep. And also we have a situation where some people would say that the authorities don't like to help our clubs. You know, we don't, not in the way that they do in other countries where...
Yeah, because in Holland, we are a little bit proud that the KNVB, the football association, they help every single Dutch club with moving fixtures. Making a schedule that is based on the European competitions. Yeah. So that's a big difference.
It's something that's always been talked about in Scotland as being an issue that we don't do enough. The association or the league body doesn't do enough to help our clubs.
But on the other hand, what we spoke about last week. In the heads of the PSV players, the game was becoming bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's not the case with Rangers. So maybe it's better, like from Bronckhorst say, to stay in the rhythm.
Yeah, it might be that Michael Beale, the Rangers manager, doesn't want to postpone, but the issue is
he did say that after the game that he'd prefer to play this weekend just because they lost the opening game at Kilmarnock.
Yeah.
He wants to play this game, but he does feel it's something that in future that the league does need to address.
It's the fact the discussion never takes place. That's unlike in Holland where, you know, we just never seem to have the discussion. The manager could then choose. Each manager could decide if they want it or they don't want it. But the discussion is never there.
But Martin, who decides in Holland if the game is postponed? Do PSV ask KNVB to postpone the game? Or does the authorities tell them, no, we are going to miss that game?
It's from both ways. PSV or all the clubs who play European games, they can ask for it. Let's say when the schedule is made. So in April or May. And also the KNVB has a policy that they will look at it themselves. So I don't think that the clubs, they don't even have to ask for it. They get the question, do you want it?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's the difference. That's the big difference.
Martin, can I just ask, I mean, you talk about the mistakes that PSV made. It looked to me like the defender Romalo was the defender that was caught out last year for Antonio Colak's goal that knocked PSV out. It looked to me like he had a few nervous moments, especially in the first half. I think he came off injured towards late on in the game. I think there's some doubts over him and perhaps other centre-back. Can you update us on them and just how important they are? Do they have other centre-backs that are at the level that Romalo's at?
Yeah, well, Romalo, I thought, was only cramps. But the one playing beside him, Boscagli, he was also coming off, and we don't know at this moment because they have two free days. I don't know exactly if he has an injury or he was also tired. But The problem is, they came to Scotland with only five defenders and with no replacement in centre-backs at all. So I think, well, of what I hear is, of course, there is debate around Ramalho. And if Peter Bosz would have another defender, he would try to play him, but he doesn't have one. So that's why earlier I called Yedi Schouten. He's a midfield player, but in the second half against Vitesse, the last league game, he played Yedi Schouten as central defender because, yeah, that was the only thing he could do to get to change the team and to change the way they played. So will be interesting. Will he play a midfield player from the start in the return game against Rangers in the centre back, or will he stick with Ramalho and Boscagli? But Ramalho, as what you say, of course he looks nervous and he is a little bit nervous because you play with a lot of space behind you in the way PSV wants to play. So every ball that goes deep, will demand you to run, and he's not the player with the highest speed level. So, yeah, tricky.
How did you see Sergiño Dest's performance? I mean, for somebody who hadn't even really trained with the team, I thought he was terrific the other night. He's paced on that one side. How did you see his performance?
Yeah, well, we were impressed with him because, what you say, he didn't play for a long time. And he showed no fear. He showed offensive runs. His best position is right back. And now he played left back because, there was also no left back at this moment. So he can play both. But I think in the future, he will become the right back. But maybe against Rangers, he will stick with the left back position. And he's an American international, but he's also typically a Dutch player. Good on the ball, brave. So an offensive left back, and he was one of the best players on the pitch.
Great. Okay, well, Martin, thank you once again for joining us this week. No offence, but we hope not to have you on again next year.
I understand. And I've not forgotten. I think it was Andy who asked in Eindhoven, where can I get a good beer?
Yeah,
and, you should be at the Stratums Eind. It's a street with 20 or 30 pubs in total. So
I think I remember it from last year. Yeah, I think I may have walked through that last year just on one of my evening strolls. So
but then you only took a juice, eh?
Just a Coca-Cola.
I don't think that's your kind of place, Andy.
Find somewhere that's got a library or a wee tea shop or something like that.
And is this where the Rangers fans should also go, Martin? Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's a nice street, and you will have a lot of fun. And Dutch fans and Scottish fans, they will mix good together. No problems, no violence. To me, it seems there will be no problem. So,
but you won't be out. No, you'll be at home with a cup of tea.
Yeah, I do not live in Eindhoven, so. I'm not there, Andy. Yeah.
But you're going to the game, yeah?
Yeah, I will. Yeah. I will.
Okay. Mark, can I just ask? When I was there last year, that trying to get into the ground last year before kickoff was chaos. The PSV fans created this huge atmosphere, crowds. The pyro going off. I remember the team bus, the Rangers team bus struggled to get into the ground. I don't think Gio Van Bronckhorst was very happy. I think he tried to ask for the game to be delayed. I mean, will the PSV fans have something similar in store for the team this time?
Yeah, I didn't hear or read anything, but I think so because. Again, the same as last season, PSV, they definitely, and the fans, they definitely want to go into the Champions League. It's been from 2018 that they made it. So failure is no possibility in their eyes. So they will definitely try to yeah, to make an atmosphere like last season. And and now the only difference will be that the team, they will react on that in the first 15 minutes, and last season they didn't. So you can expect a fury again.
Yeah. Perfectly. Okay. Thanks for your time.
Awesome. Thank you for your time. Enjoy the game.
Thank you.
All right, and good luck with the show.
Thank
Cheers.
You.
Bye, Martin.
All right. Bye-bye.
Andy, you were on the hotline this morning because you emailed it over, and I have to laugh at one of the callers who picked you up on your record sport player ratings from the game, saying that Abdallah Sima was clunky in possession. But he said you were absolutely spot on.
Oh, and then, what do you expect? You know,
it's
fan mail, basically. So.
Clunky in possession, but no, I agreed with you, clunky in possession, and then scores that goal. Could you quite believe it? Well,
if you look back at the Mamba Man's, I actually wrote he was an enigma, because, you know, mm-hmm. in one moment, you know, he's tripping over the ball and, mm-hmm. you know, coming passes away, the next minute he's scoring a screamer. I mean, it was a strange performance. I generally think he would probably be in danger of getting taken off at half time before he scores that. I mean, that probably wins him a half time reprieve. I mean, what a finish it was. And you could see his sort of confidence lifted from that moment on. But yeah, I mean, I think he's a wee bit like Cyril Dessau. He's one of these guys that's still sort of trying to find his feet in Scotland, mm-hmm. shall we say.
What did you think about that one that was picked up on? It's been circulating in social media, and then at the time where he lets the ball go out of play for the corner. Did you see it?
I remember speaking to Barry Ferguson Barry Ferguson spoke about Ronald De Boer when he mm-hmm. came here. He says that was the first lesson he had to learn, was that even if you think you're not getting to the ball, the Ibrox crowd demand that you still at least show an effort for it. I think there's been a couple of occasions where Dessers has had, you know, similar instances where he knows he's not getting to it, but because he gives up in it, the fans get in his back. And, you know, I think you know, that's a learning curve for them. I don't think you'll see them doing that too many more times. But, you know, I don't think it's symptomatic of anything other than, yeah. you know, this is just a different culture in terms of, you know, how fans expect players to react to certain situations on the pitch.
But was this one not more one where it wasn't about, you know, having to use energy to get it? It was more that he probably thought they'd have been in a better position by letting it go out for the corner, as opposed to if he'd kept it, not been much on.
I think I remember from the game, it was a shot on. He could have taken a shot, but it was from quite a tight angle.
Yeah, it was tight.
Maybe he just thought on his left foot, you know, he's probably better just letting it run for the corner. Yeah. But yeah,
but there wasn't a big reaction to that at the game, Gav. But, no, I remember it clearly, and most of the crowd, most of them accepted the fact that it was kind of too far away from it. It was better to let it go for a corner. But ironically, there actually was another instant in the game where it was going out for a throw-in, and he didn't chase it. The ball had went over the top, or it bypassed him, and it had kind of sailed through to their defender. But rather than go and press the defender, he just kind of allowed the defender to go and get the ball and start playing, and that's when the crowd really got on his case. I agree with Andy. I mean, I wouldn't be too critical of him. I think it is just a different culture. We know it's a unique place, unique kind of club. And I mean, if Dessers and Sima, I mean, if they are guilty of that, they just need to look at Todd Cantwell, I think, and see how he chases down lost causes and, you know, Harry's people and, you know, plays with that intensity. I mean, he was a real catalyst, I thought, the other night for a lot of Rangers kind of positive stuff. So yeah, if they take a look at him, then if they can do, you know, that the same kind of thing, then they'll soon endear themselves to the punters.
I think you're already seeing signs of that with Dessers, because, you know, just before obviously he wins the ball back for Sima's goal, there's a ball comes across the face of the box from Cartwell. The Dessers, if he makes a back post run, he's got a tap in. He just doesn't really attack the 6-yard box, and, you know, he got copped a bit of flak from the Broomland Road end, and that seemed to, you know, G him into action, because 2 minutes later, 2 seconds later, almost, he stripped the ball off of Sangiran and teeing up teamer for his wonder goal, basically. So, you know, maybe, you know, I think that lesson's perhaps starting to sink in, that, you know, that if you want to save yourself a, you know, a bit of a groan from the fans, you need to just keep chasing and keep harrying.
I think Seema just, I don't know what you think, Andy, I think Seema just lacks a bit of confidence. I mean, listen, I'm not saying he might not turn out to be a great player for Rangers, but he's clearly got something. I mean, you look at that finish the other night, you look at his finish for Prague against Leicester, knowing that the European game last year for 25 yards in the bottom corner. I mean, he's clearly got something, but he just looks a guy devoid of confidence. I don't know whether that's just been, no, he's not played as much. No, he was stuck in France. It was Amiens last year. He was playing with the kind of lower reaches of the French league. The move to Brighton hasn't quite worked out. I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, certainly before the other night, a lot of people were thinking about kind of writing him off already. He's not good enough. But, you know, he's shown little signs that he's got something. It's just whether Michael Beale can eke it out of him and you know, instill a bit of belief in him again.
I thought second half, his performance levels lifted. And I think, listen, just with his pace, I mean, these European away games where, you know, Rangers are going to have space to exploit at times, he's going to be vital. You know, him and Matondo, I mean, the only sort of guys in the team you would say have got genuine pace. So he's going to have a role to play. And I think, if, you know, it's important that, you know, Michael Beale can just instill that confidence in him. And listen, the goal will do him the world of good, because especially a cracking finish. I mean, like, those are the type of goals that just lift players' confidence levels. So, you know, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I do think at times, you know, lacks a wee bit of composure. Maybe he's maybe a bit like Matondo's, probably a bit too quick for his own good at times. You know, the legs are sort of moving before he's taking the ball with him at times. But, you know, I think if you know, games like, I mean, I thought he was decent enough in Geneva. You know, he's work rate and his pace, you know, yeah, he's not maybe the technically the most cleanest player, the cleanest dribbler of a ball you've ever seen, but, you know, the ability just to stretch teams and just to stop defences, you know, moving too high up the park and squeezing Rangers, I think will be vital for them in the months ahead.
So who starts for you in Eindhoven, Seema or Matondo? Because it's probably going to be one or the other, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I would. It's a difficult one. Maybe Matondo in that sense, just the fact that I think there's something brewing with him. I mean, I think he had a really difficult year. And, you know, spoke to Barry Ferguson for his column this week for tomorrow's paper, and he was saying he's ready to write him off. And I sort of tended to agree. I thought, I mean, to be honest, I was surprised they let Sakala go rather than Matondo. Obviously, the bid came in for Fashion Sakala. I think, you know, he's at least shown he's had the end product. But I think just the fact that, you know, Matondo did reasonably well at the weekend against Morton, I think the finish that he takes for the goal will do him a world of good. And, you know, then you see just what an uplifting confidence does, because he comes so close to scoring an absolute screamer in injury time. They had another run where he sort of bursts into the box. So I think you're starting to see just what confidence can do to a player. And I always go back to it at the beginning of last season when we were in Belgium for the Union St. Gilloa game. We were speaking to the Union players, we were speaking to the Belgian journalists, and they were all raving about Matondo. Matondo was always the guy they marked out as the big threat in the Rangers team, because he'd done so well that second half in Belgium when he was with Cercle Bruges, just playing in that, you know, counter-attacking style. And I think, you know, Europe's maybe the setting for him if he can just have that belief. I mean, Michael Beale spoke last year, I think it was Ross County, around December time, he spoke after the game about Rabbi Matondo having that sort of crisis of confidence. Well, fair play to the lad, because he's certainly, you know, he doesn't look like a guy that's short on, you know, certainly not confidence amongst his teammates. He's you know, you heard Jack Butland the other night, he's talking about how he's got this bubbly personality, you can never shut him up in the dressing room. So it sounds to me like he's certainly back in a happier place in that Rangers dressing room, and that should hopefully stand him in good stead. You know, I would think that maybe that gives him the edge just for the game on Tuesday, Wednesday night, sorry.
Just in general terms, because obviously the bad start at Kilmarnock and people questioning Beale and the new signings, I mean, is that the result that can just sort of bring it all together? How much did they need that just to bring it all together and make people believe, make the players believe, just everything? Even if, you know, regardless of what happens in Eindhoven, obviously, if they go and finish the job, it'll make such a big difference. But just to see those signs of things coming together, how big do you think that can be?
To win in Eindhoven?
No, I just mean like overall this season, just the fact that that they put that performance on and everything sort of came together, you know, with so many questions asked, you know, the Kilmarnock game, the Morton game, and everybody was, Livingston, despite the one, late on, everybody was sort of questioning it. But do you think that can just give everybody the belief that there's something there?
I would hope so. I mean, I'm glad that Martin earlier commented on Michael Beale's kind of tactical setup, because that was one of the things I took for the game the other night, was that, well, whatever you think of Michael Beale as a manager, or whatever you think he's kind of signings at Rangers so far, I don't think you could ever accuse him of not being able to set a team up, tactically. I thought he showed that towards the end of last season in a couple of the games against Celtic. I know all the results didn't go their way, but when people were lauding Ange Postecoglou for his style and his setup, I thought in a couple of games Michael Beale tactically got the better of him, so the signs were good. And I thought it was the same the other night going into that game. Almost everyone I spoke to had PSV winning by a couple of goals. They're going to be too good for Rangers. The result against Sturm Graz, they're going to stick three or four past them, especially after the start that Rangers had made in the Premiership. But I thought Beale tactically got it spot on. And if Rangers could have, let's face it, if Rangers could have defended two cross balls better than they did, then they might have got an even better result. So that alone, I think that game the other night, just kind of in isolation, when you look at Michael Beale tactically, I think that should give Rangers Rangers fans real encouragement going forward.
Scott, what do you think he goes with his midfield though? Because I just felt that the way it's set up, it wasn't the best fit for, if you want to put it that way, for Raskin and Cifuentes. They had to do a lot of work going side to side, just try to sort of cover the flanks. It wasn't a system that I thought allowed them to get on the ball that much. I think they struggled at times to sort of get into PSV's faces. Do you think he has to sort of change that shape perhaps, or look at adding an extra body in there perhaps?
I don't see him changing it too much, Andy, honestly. I thought the other night Raskin and Cifuentes were poor on the ball, and I don't think that was the system. I just think in possession they weren't at it the other night. Now, you could argue that might be because, as you say, they are doing so much running. You know what it's like? I mean, when you're doing those shuttle runs in and out constantly, it's tough when you actually get the ball. Rangers only had like 25% possession. Sometimes your mind's tired more than anything else. So I don't see him changing it too much. I think he'd have been reasonably happy with how that worked off the ball. I thought Ryan Jack was probably Rangers' best midfielder the other night, and it was Raskin and Cifuentes that had to do the real dirty work, along with Cantwell and Seymour, to be fair, who had to put a shift in as well in that system. I don't see him changing it too much. When I think about the second leg, I can see it being a pretty similar game. You heard Martin there saying PSV will only know one way, and that's to go for it. I think Rangers will try and stay compact, try and get these guys on the outside to put that real shift in, to try and make sure they don't concede. And then it's about whether you can take advantage of the opportunities you get on the break, or when you can press them high and force them into mistakes. I can see, listen, it depends what happens on Saturday at Ross County, obviously, if there's injuries or how that goes, but I can see it being a pretty similar team. And as I said earlier, maybe Matondo for Seymour, depending on how he is getting into the game. I mean, guys like Danilo and Lammers and that will be itching to play, but I can see it being a very similar kind of lineup on Wednesday night.
Great. Okay, well, that's five past four on Thursday. News will just be getting ready to head to Dingwall any minute. So I better wrap this. What time he's leaving?
Depends what time the carryout shop opens. So,
well, listen, thanks again to both of you for joining us. Enjoy Dingwall, enjoy the game, and enjoy Eindhoven, Andy, and we'll speak to you after it. And hopefully, Rangers will be in the Champions League group stage draw.
Cheers, Gav.
Bye.